Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, Ira Melman. Today, we peek into a program that brings leaders from many parts of the world to the United States to learn about how the U.S. works.
We're looking for people who are going to, in their own societies, advance those kind of values to bring about better lives for the people in those countries and a better world environment for all of us to live in.
E.M. Yermishvili is in the cafe with a report on the Next Generation Leaders Program. Julie Tabo is here with the story of some young Americans yearning and hoping for success by visiting the past in the U.S., the making of socks.
There's not a lot of things that you can touch and feel that are being made by American hands. And so we wanted to kind of reach back to that tradition and be a part of reviving that.
And from Los Angeles, Elizabeth Lee takes on the tango with a twist.
Tango is not only Argentinian, it's a loop from Europe also. It's like something dramatic, and the count maybe is 1, 2, 3, 4, tang, tang.
It's tango with a Yiddish accent. All of that and more on this week's American Cafe. Ten young professionals from around the world have been spending the past year in the United States, learning the ins and outs of local government. They are the first participants in the Next Generation Leaders Program, run by a Washington-based policy institute. VOA's Ia Mervishvili attended their recent graduation ceremony and has this report.
The members of the group have spent their time in the U.S. working with American non-governmental organizations, local governments, and major businesses, learning about the best practices in their respective fields. The program is aimed at fostering character-driven leadership and is run by the McCain Institute for International Leadership, named after the family of U.S. Senator John McCain.
We need to do everything we can to have the next generation of leaders best prepared in the turmoil that will be with us for some time.
Though it's based in Washington, the McCain Institute is part of Arizona State University in the senator's home state. Senior advisor Ben Freakley says the institute will continue to support the graduates in their home countries.
It's the McCain Institute's job to draw attention to the work that they're doing in their home countries. If they need resources of subject matter expertise of research by reaching back into Arizona State University, it's our job to support them to be successful.
The graduates have various goals in mind as they return home. Soraya Aziz Suleimani, who works for a mining company in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, would like to improve the mining industry's social support for local communities.
So as I go back, I'm trying to implement that as I work with North American mining companies. It gave me exposure, but it also gave me a huge network to people working in various institutions that can actually make a positive impact in my country.
Zahir Abbas is a civil society activist from Pakistan's conflict-torn tribal areas. He wants to reduce violence in the region by offering programs to Pakistani men and boys to encourage changes in their perceptions of masculine behavior.
I'm trying to make men to be peacemakers, targeting their masculine perceptions, and also trying to make them a better human beings, to be helpful and supportive of women empowerment efforts at the same time.
Executive Director Kurt Balker says the eventual goal is to create a global network of people committed to democratic values and leadership.
We're looking for people who are going to, in their own societies, advance those kind of values to bring about better lives for the people in those countries and a better world environment for all of us to live in.
This year's graduates have now returned to their home countries. The McCain Institute hopes to double the number of program participants next year. Iyame Urmishrili, VOA News, Washington.
Three young entrepreneurs are hoping to revolutionize the high-end sock industry by introducing all-American creations of their own. And they're doing most of it the old-fashioned way. VOA's Julie Tabo recently caught up with them to learn what goes into making their one-of-a-kind socks.
The socks being made at this knitting mill in North Carolina are anything but ordinary.
They're the fulfillment of a dream by three young entrepreneurs.
We need to make enough money to buy the next round of boxes.
Joshua Steinman, Turner Swicegood, and Jay Gall all have regular day jobs, but they're also independent businessmen. 3 years ago, they formed a small company to make high-quality dress socks. Steinman, an active-duty U.S. naval officer, came up with the idea during a tour of duty overseas.
I actually didn't like any of the socks that I wore because they kept falling down. I felt they weren't made especially well. And so after that assignment was over, I started thinking about what would it mean for me to get socks that I really did like. And that was the genesis of Pennants Hall.
Two guiding principles drive their company's philosophy. Their socks have to be made with the finest quality materials, and although they could be produced more cheaply overseas, their socks have to be made in America, says Turner Swicegood.
We don't really make a lot of things in this country anymore. It's a service-based economy. It's a financial-based economy. There's not a lot of things that you can touch and feel that are being made by American hands. And so we wanted to kind of reach back to that tradition and be a part of reviving that.
So every component that goes into their product, from the sheep that provide the ultra-fine wool to the custom-formulated dyes to the factories that weave them into socks, are all American. Even the boxes the socks are packaged in are American, made in a factory in Pennsylvania.
Thanks for listening, and please back us on Kickstarter.
The partners finance the bulk of their enterprise through an internet site called Kickstarter.
Show your true colors. Back Pennants Hall. On Kickstarter, we said, this is what we're trying to make. We told the story of the socks and then gave people the opportunity to pledge a small amount of money in exchange for socks in the future.
They raised more than $50,000, which allowed them to produce 5,000 pairs of socks. The first run of Pennants Hall dress socks are ready to be shipped to about 1,000 customers worldwide who pledged during the Kickstarter campaign, and new customer orders will be filled in the coming weeks.
It was really exciting to see that we had customers from all across the U.S., but then also all across the world who are going to be getting these socks in the next couple of months.
If their pricey socks sell well online, the partners hope to expand their clothing line and make them available in stores in the U.S. within the next 10 years. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
Jewish people from across Europe have been immigrating to Argentina for hundreds of years. They brought with them dance music that was eventually fixed with the Argentine tango. The result is Yiddish tango, a fusion of melodies and cultural experiences that is still evolving today. Elizabeth Lee reports on how one band is bringing Yiddish tango to Los Angeles.
Tango, for most people, evokes a passionate dance form. For Argentine-born Gustavo Bolgash, tango is music with an attitude.
Tango means the blues. Tango is not just the tango. It means, you know, it's an attitude that you want to express. In every language, in Yiddish, in Spanish, in whatever language, tango represents that kind of attitude of losing or have your heart broken by, you know, by life.
Bolgash is Jewish. Originally from Russia, his family immigrated to Argentina. He is now the band leader of the Yiddish Tango Club, a group that fuses a form of Jewish dance music known as klezmer with Argentine tango. That's Davina Gloria singing in the band.
Tango is not only Argentinian. It's a loop from Europe also. It's like something dramatic, and the count maybe is 1, 2, 3, 4, tang, tang.
The band pays tribute to the music of the Jewish immigrants in Argentina. Gloria is Jewish. Her family left Poland and settled in Argentina. Yiddish tango evokes memories of her childhood there.
It makes me come to my early years and reminds me all my family. It's emotional, but it makes me very happy.
Tango developed in the slums of Buenos Aires. Some scholars believe it has African origins. Others say tango is a fusion of the various sounds of the European immigrants. Jews, like other old world immigrants to Argentina, brought their own music with them to the new world.
Tango is, by the history of music, not an Argentine rhythm. Tango comes from Russia, from Poland, from Germany. It's like a, it was, or still is, a dance beat. Well, in the beginning, they brought it with them, and they fused that with what the locals knew. You know, it's a very early stage.
The result is Yiddish tango.
The Yiddish tango evolved in a way that in the beginning was just in Yiddish, and later on, they mixed with some Spanish words.
And it is still evolving thanks to technology. Seven musicians can sound like 20 on stage.
And that rings differently, even to the same song.
Many in the audience are Jewish, and some of the music is familiar to them. For others who are not Jewish, they come for the dancing.
I was interested in tango dancing. I dance tango, and I like plasma music, so it's a combination of both.
Bulgash says while elements of Yiddish tango, like its Argentine counterpart, will continue to stay true to its roots, they will also evolve as musicians experiment and incorporate other cultures into this old art form. Elizabeth Lee for VOA News, Los Angeles.
Thank you very much for dancing.
Over the last two decades, New York City has seen a surge in immigration from Africa. But until recently, newcomers from Sierra Leone, the Ivory Coast, Liberia, Guinea, Ghana, other West African nations, mostly kept to their own communities. Today, these diverse cultures are coming together to celebrate their common roots and to demand recognition as a force within the Big Apple. To find out more, VOA's Adam Phillips attended an African diaspora parade and festival in the New York City borough of the Bronx.
Between the traditional drums, the vivid multicolored native dress, the many tribal dialects, and the sheer merriment and pride on display at the African Diaspora Parade, it sometimes seemed a lot more like Mother Africa than the Bronx, New York. Mali-born Burema Nyambele, who helped plan the event, sways and marches with other dignitaries at the front of the procession.
We come in here today to celebrate the African diaspora. As African in the diaspora, it doesn't matter where you are born. We all can come in together and celebrate our culture.
The parade ends in a park where an all-afternoon festival of music and dance gets underway. That is as it should be, says Gandhi Ambrose, a Cameroon-born dancer and community leader in an heirloom ceremonial hat that expresses his kingly lineage. For him, Africa itself is a festival.
Africa is just a land of happiness and joy. Despite all the problems that's evolved in that part of the world, we still have a happiness dominating in our way of doing things. I'm a dancer. Africans have a dance in their blood, their bloodstream. So we move. We don't need a training. We don't go to school for that. We just dance.
Festival organizers say the African diaspora includes anyone with cultural roots on the continent. That includes Hispanics, whose rumba and cha-cha dances, for example, are based in African rhythms, and African Americans, whose dialects and traditional foods echo the motherland. And for Jamaicans like Sadie Campbell and other West Indians, the link to Africa runs very deep.
We have a part of Africa that's in us. We come from there. That's in our genes.
All while embracing all-American culture, high school drum corps and hip-hop music are also part of the day's entertainment. Charles Cooper, a Liberian-American, is chairman of the African Advisory Council, a coalition of Bronx-based community advocacy groups that co-sponsored the celebration. He says creating these connections is what the event is really all about.
To see the similarities. This is an event. It's fun. Folks come out, folks dance, folks laugh. People that normally would not speak to one another, we will pass by one another in this environment. You know, they're speaking to one another, they're chatting, and they're sharing information.
Carl Rodney, publisher of the Carib News, says that as common ground between these diverse groups gets clearer, the information they share gets more political.
I think there's a growing awareness that the barriers that separated us previously, African-American, Caribbean-American, continental African, Hispanic, are all false. The agenda is the same. You want services or a cab, they're not asking whether you're from the Caribbean, Africa, or you know, you're black. And if we look at ourselves in partnership, in terms of the black or African diaspora, that's where we see the political shift and the potential for even more political influence. That's a growing trend, and that's a growing reality.
If, as activists hope, immigration into New York continues to rise, along with the increasing sophistication and unity among African diaspora groups, it seems likely that this community's political power will continue to grow as well. And with it, perhaps, the wealth of African communities back home. Adam Phillips, VOA News, The Bronx, New York.
NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center outside Washington builds instruments and technologies to study the solar system and the universe, but it also helps prepare future scientists through a number of educational programs. A 10-week summer internship program gives college and high school students a chance to work on projects in a variety of space-related fields, from computer science and robotics to mechanical and aerospace engineering. In return, as VOA's Faiza El-Masri tells us, these interns bring enthusiasm and fresh perspective to a place where many hope to be employed as the next generation of NASA scientists. Faith Lapidus narrates.
Flight controllers standing by for the grapple and capture of the Cygnus.
It takes a robotic scientist to design and create a space robot. And Lewis Parent is a scientist in the making. The University of Illinois mechanical engineering major is wrapping up his 10-week internship at Goddard.
This is like probably the best internship I've ever had because they had me working on a real project that really mattered.
Interacting with his mentor and the other interns gave him a better understanding of what he needs to pursue a career in this field.
I really have to have a huge background in computer science, which I was kind of, you know, didn't want to do because computer science is my favorite course to study, but I don't know, I've kind of understood that it's necessary, and seeing the applications here kind of makes me want to do it more.
That sort of transformative experience is a big part of the NASA internship, says Rick Obenshain, Goddard's deputy director. He was an intern in 1962 when the Space Flight Center had just opened.
When you make a small baby step, which today a student or an intern would say, wow, that's something you can just do in 30, 40 minutes. Okay, it would take us weeks to figure something out.
Goddard scientists like Joseph Santinello describe the project they want interns to work on with them.
Putting irrigation into our forecast models, the ability to forecast irrigation practices over the U.S.
Santinello, who also started his NASA career as an intern, says the students are an invaluable addition to the work environment.
We get a fresh perspective on how we're working here, what we're working on, not just the science part, but generally, you know, how we interact with the community and things.
Intern Patricia Lawston has been working with Santinello for the past 3 summers. She says the internship has been an excellent experience as she pursues a doctorate in climatology.
Not only the computer resources that I have, but also the connections that I've made here. It's really nice coming back for my second and third summers to walk in the building and to see people who recognize me and call me by name, and to know that at any point I can email them and email Joe with any questions that I have about my research.
That ongoing mentoring and collaboration helps the scientists, the students, and the U.S. space program. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Now take a listen to the top music of the week from the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Ray McDonald on The Voice of America, and this is the Top 5 Countdown. We're celebrating the 5 most popular songs in the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles chart for the week ending August 30th, 2014. Last week, we welcomed a new song that's leaping up the chart. This week, we welcome a new song that's leaping up the chart. It's Deja Vu all over again. Let's start in 5th place, where Iggy Azalea and Charlie XCX dip 2 slots with Fancy. Iggy just took the Ice Bucket Challenge. Stay with me for details.
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo,
Azalea and Charlie XCX lose two slots as their former champ Fancy falls to fifth place. If you frequent social media, you're probably aware of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. It involves people pouring buckets of ice water over their heads to raise awareness about the deadly disease ALS. Well, Iggy braved the icy water while also nominating her singing pals Charlie XCX and Rita Ora. Now they have to do it within 24 hours. Well, last week it seemed the jig was up for Ariana Grande and Zedd as Break Free stagnated in 18th place. This week it rockets to number 4. So what gives? I'll tell you after the song.
This is the part when I say I don't want you. I'm stronger than I've been before. This is the part when I break free. Cause I can't resist it no more. This is
Ariana Grande and Zedd. This week's high flyers as Break Free shoots from 18th to 4th place. It's this week's top streaming gainer following the August 12th premiere of the video. Retreating a slot to 3rd place is Sam Smith with Stay With Me. Sam's mother became famous long before he had his first hit single. Stay tuned for more.
Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're
after 2 weeks in the runner-up slot, Sam Smith backs off a notch to 3rd place with Stay With Me. Sam first made headlines at age 16. His mother, London financier Kate Cassidy, sued her bosses for unfair dismissal. She alleged they sacked her for spending too much time managing young Sam's career. Well, obviously, she got the last laugh. Jumping into the runner-up slot is Meghan Trainor, who says her breakout hit All About That Bass is all about acceptance. I'll tell you more after the song.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
Meghan Trainor is out for blood. The 20-year-old Massachusetts native powers two slots to second place with All About That Bass. Meghan says her song is about loving yourself, no matter what your shape. She adds that she wrote it for herself, since she's struggled with body image issues in the past. Up at number 1, Magic takes the prize for a 6th week with Rude. The group's leader lays out his plans for musical dominance right after the track.
Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry you anyway.
Remains your Hot 100 Pop Singles champ for a 6th week with Rude, despite not leading in any of the airplay, sales, or streaming components of the chart. Bandleader Nasri Atwe has been an aspiring star in his native Canada for the past decade and says he ultimately wants to perform in stadiums. He says it all hinges on having great material, great relationships with his bandmates, and a true connection with the fans. I hope we can reconnect next week when I bring you a whole new lineup. I'm Ray McDonald, and this has been the Top 5 Countdown on The Voice of America.
That is all the time we have for this week's program. Our thanks to executive producer Bob Doty. If you'd like to hear more about these stories, check our website at voanews.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email from wherever you are to our studios in Washington, D.C. You can email us at americancafe@voanews.com. Why not give us a telephone call? Dial the international code, then the number 1 for the United States, followed by 202-205-9942. When you hear the VOA ID, press 05 and then leave your questions or your comments. For all the folks here at VOA, I'm Ira Melman. We'll see you next time on American Cafe.